And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard 125. My name is Tom Harris. Welcome along to the show. And this week, in our countdown to the premiere of Thor the Dark World, we are going to start covering a three-part story here, one that we've talked about covering in the past, Thor Godstorm. Yes, indeed. And I think you guys will be enjoying this as much as I have. At least I hope so, anyway. But before we start our coverage, I just want to announce a little piece of news that I'm very excited about. And that is that I'm going to be appearing on another podcast. And not only that, I'm going to be talking about Thor on that podcast as well. Yes, I'm going to be appearing on an episode of Back to the Bins. I'm not really sure of when that episode is going to air. But the fine gentlemen at Back to the Bins have invited me to join them for a Thor episode. And I'm going to be covering an issue of Thor that is particularly notable to myself. And the others are going to be covering issues of Thor that are important to them. So it sounds like a great time. And we haven't recorded yet, but we're going to be recording in the very near future. All right. So as promised, let's move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So this week we are covering the first part of three parts, Thor Godstorm, number one. Cover date is November of 2001. This retailed for $3.50. The cover art looks to be by Steve Rude and is a beautiful painted cover showing two young boys. One of them is blonde and Thor-like. The other is dark-haired and Loki-like. And they are watching this old man tell stories while seated on a stump. And sort of in the background in the trees, we see a ghostly image of Thor. We open up to the splash page, or it's not really a splash page, it's a credits page. And we have the creators of this book. The writer was Kurt Busiek. Steve Rude was the penciler. Mike Royer was the inker. Greg Wright was the colorist. John Costanza was the letterer. And JG of Comicraft was the designer of this. Well, there's a lot of design work here. Mark Summerack was the assistant editor. Tom Brevoort was the editor. Joe Quesada is the editor-in-chief. Bill Hamas is the president. And we open up to the real splash page here of a Viking village somewhere on the North Sea around the year 912 AD. So this actually predates, or does it? Does it predate the Thor God of Thunder, Thor? I don't think so. Anyway, this is a little bit later. But this is somewhere on the North Sea. We have a young boy. This is the blonde boy, the Thor-like boy that we saw from the cover. And he seems to be hopelessly entangled in repairing a fishing net. And he's covered with like splotches of brown, like somebody's been throwing poop at him. And another young boy, dark-haired boy, comes running up.
Wilf! Ho, Wilf! We need your sword arm to repel those snot noses led by Gunnar's son. Up, boy, up!
And we see kids play fighting in the background with wooden shields and swords. There's a woman there that looks to be guiding some goats up from the ocean. And we see some fishing boats. There's a lot of detail in all of this stuff. This is just a heavily detailed art. I have to say, right off the get-go, this is Steve Rude in full Kirby mode. So all of these panels, all the artwork in this book, is Steve Rude is channeling his very best Kirby imitation. And I will probably mention this at least more a few more times during the course of the issue, but also at the end. Anyway, so we have the title of the story, The Mighty Thor in Godstorm. This is very, very carefully evoking the journey into mystery days in the way they have the title set up here. And the blonde boy is like,
"Would that I could, Uller, but I cannot. I have been tasked with mending these old fishing nets, and I fear I can make neither head nor tail of it." They do look like they're all tangled up, and he can't do anything with it. "I cannot even untangle the cursed things. I have tried for hours, it seems, and all I end up is with more snarls and raw fingers." "Ha! Then come to war, Wilf. Venture ire on Gunnar's spawn. Who cares about nets anyway? Forget them. You know that old Hanna will fix them in time."
And an old man's voice comes from behind them, and we see a gnarled old hand holding a walking stick, which is looks like a griffin's head with almost Thor-like wings on the side of its head, and a kind of a snake pattern going up the shaft of the staff. And old man saying,
"Giving up in the face of adversity? Is that the mark of a Viking?"
And you see it's an old man. He's dressed in fancy seer type clothes. Definitely not what you'd expect a Viking to be wearing, I must say. And Ullr's like, "Huh? Your pardon, Elder. I did not see you there. But I meant nothing. Nothing but to gain Wilf here a respite from drudgery and to exercise his skills at..."
"Silence! You're a tempter and a wastrel. I see it in your eyes. Were the future of the Norsemen's race entrusted to such as you, our glories would be ended in a generation."
Ooh, burn.
"You shun work in favor of games and foolery. You have no fire, no heart. I despair at the signs and fear for the future."
"Truly, sir, he meant no harm, but I confess I do not understand."
It's Wilf saying that.
"Are we not warriors? Should we not test and hone our skill in battle against our future voyages of plunder?" "Plunder? What do fingerlings like yourselves know of such things? There is more to Norsemen than mere plunder. Should you truly seek the fire of a warrior's heart, the way to triumph over all challenges, the secret is there, in front of your eyes. A secret worth the knowing. A pity that the callow young are so deaf to it."
And he starts to wander away all forlorn.
Secret, sir? If we could but hear..."
"My wasted breath. I'm sure of it. Still, follow me."
And the two boys go following the old man, and he sits down on a stump, a large, freshly cut tree. And they said,
"And now I sit upon this ancient stump, its roots sinking deep into the earth like Yggdrasil, the world tree, deep into the past. And open your ears for your first step on the pathway to manhood. But be warned, knowledge alone is not enough. Only through deeds can one truly earn the truth I'm about to show you."
And the old man beckons to the seafront, and we see a number of men, and they seem to be unloading ships of supplies and that sort of thing. It's a little bit odd that the locations are not very well defined, and there's really a lot here in common with old Silver Age comics, and sometimes the relationship of different places is not abundantly clear. we'll get to more of that at the very end of the episode. But the old man is saying,
"There is one among us who truly knows, whose blood sings with the secret, do you see, as he directs the loading of the longships? Have you ever noticed something peculiar in his attire?"
"Chief Harold? Do you mean that piece of stone he wears on a thong? He is never without it."
"Yes, that chip of stone. Have you never wondered why he wears it? That chip has a story, as ancient as all our own beginnings. And it is that tale that I will tell you now. A tale of men, gods, and more. A tale known to those who've heard it as... the tale of the mighty Thor in the storm that rebelled."
So he's speaking in titles here. You know how speaking in logos bothers me? Speaking in titles isn't quite so bad, but anyway. And we suddenly shift scenes, and we are in far-off Asgard, where we have a very young Thor, having just won the Hammer Mjolnir. It looks to be late teens, maybe early 20s, and his good buddy Balder, and they are escorting a group of Asgardian women to go on an outing, apparently, out in the woods. It's Frigga and her handmaidens, and Frigga is looking extremely young and voluptuous in this comic, other than the fact that she has white hair. She actually looks like Dream Girl from the Legion of Superheroes, except without the beauty mark. she's like, this is sexy, Frigga. Anyway, she's like,
"It is most kind of Balder in thee to act as our honor guard, Thor. It hath been long indeed since we enjoyed such a diversion."
"'Tis nothing, m'lady.
The honor is all ours, and thou couldst not have asked for a finer day. And Balder pipes in, perhaps not, young Thor. See, from the east, storm clouds begin to roll in.
These clouds, they loom most ominously, as if swollen with evil. But how could they have appeared so swiftly?
In truth, it was Loki, god of mischief and evil. Jealous at not being chosen by Frigga, he had cast a spell to ruin the day.
Fear not, my lady, says Thor. It is only recently that I have won stewardship of the hammer Mjolnir, and with it my full power over the storms. For all that I be new to it, still am I the god of thunder. Still am I the master of lightning. And the god of thunder speaks. And he raises up the hammer, and like a bolt of lightning or energy or something shoots out of the hammer and cascades with some wonderful Kirby crackle into this evil, ominous black cloud. And Thor commands it, shrink, clouds, by the command of Thor. Shrink and dwindle, until thy malign power is reduced to naught. And I'll be gone, and trouble us no more. And we see the cloud shrinking and disappearing. And the party then takes off on their horses on a gallop, and they're heading back out to, their picnic or whatever they're going out to. And Baldur's like, zounds, yon clouds drift away, harmless. And Frigga's like,
Thor, son of my heart, we are in all thy debt. Clear skies lie ahead. And yet, behold, the tiny cloud seems not to have lost all its fury. It looses a small downpour, in brief shower on some poor unlucky fool. But who?
And predictably, that fool is none other than Loki. And everybody sees that. It's like, and Frigga's laughing as they're,
ha 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 ha, the poor fool is Loki himself. What terrible luck to befall a god as prideful as he.
Still, mistress, he is said to be god of mischief after all. Surely he can see the humor in this. And Thor gallops up to Loki and says, a thousand pardons, half-brother. My skill is not yet what it must be. I still have to practice more. But still, 'tis only water. No harm hath been done, eh? And Loki is looking all miserable here and kind of muttering to himself,
by all the spirits of Niflheim, truly, Thor, thou shalt pay for this humiliation.
And we see Loki kind of venturing off into a journey of his own, and he's heading towards this mountain or hill or something that is enshrouded in mist in some sort of a mystical land. And it turns out, according to the narration here, that it is the dwelling of storms. Loki is all angry, and it's like this mountain that looks like a giant face and this big, huge, long tongue snaking out, which is what he's walking on. It's like this giant path. Very Dr. Seussian and also very Jack Kirby at the same time. It's Steve Rude, you know, is channeling Kirby, but it's really not Kirby. I mean, there's a lot of Steve Rude coming through in this as well. And I have to say, it's a wonderful combination. These pages all look fantastic. So they're going to the crag mouth itself, the forbidden dwelling of the storms, where they do not rage in our skies. That's where storms live when they're not raining on earth.
There shall I find my revenge.
He approaches, and the spirits are like, go back, puny Asgardian. This is not a place for your kind. Go back or fear death. And Loki is brave enough to keep going, and he says,
I have important business, but not with mere winds. I seek the most powerful of all storms.
Then you have found him, groundling. Now speak quickly, ere I decide to hurl thee into the depths never to arise.
I come to speak to thee of injustice, great one, to speak to thee of Thor.
Thor? He is our patron, godling. All who serve him here do so with great pride.
But that pride is not shown in return, great one. Thor cares nothing for thee. To him thou art but a slave.
And the old man is narrating here.
The storm darkened with anger and flashed with lightning, but Loki spoke on, dropping honeyed, poisonous words into its hearing. And no man alive knows what Loki said, but Loki is cunning, and he spoke for a very, very long time. And the result of Loki's machinations would be known soon, but not in Asgard. For less than a moon change later, on these very waters, a dark and dangerous fleet sailed for our shores. This was long before the time of any man alive today. But still did our clans farm these lands and fish these waters. And our chieftain did order out the fleet to meet the foe.
And we have a very heroic-looking chieftain with a very typical Jack Kirby face and Jack Kirby squinty eye mode. You know, we've talked about that before.
Berserker out of Thule. They seek not plunder, but blood and death. They outnumber us, my chieftain. It is sad that berserker know no mercy, that they fight till they die or till the last foe falls. This shall be a bloody day indeed.
And the chieftain's like, let them do their worst, Ranulf. We shall do our best.
I pray our gods hear our pleas, for only they with our help.
We are Vikings, Ranulf. We do not plead.
The chieftain calls out to Thor.
Hear me, gods of far Asgard. Hear me, Thor. Hear me, Tyr and Heimdall. We call on you not for aid, for our strength is our own. We call on you merely to take notice, to see that we are Northmen, worthy of you. See how we fight, Thor. See how we die.
We see that Thor is up above in Asgard or wherever. He's actually, it's like standing on a cliff above where this battle's about to take place. The narration says,
high above, Thor hears, and Thor came so requested, as now our brave men faced adversity, and Thor was most deeply impressed.
Such courage! This is rare indeed, and should not perish from the face of Midgard. Though these men did not ask Thor's aid, as befits their warrior code, still they shall have it, as befits the choice of a god.
And he's whirling his hammer around. He's like, blow winds, crack skies. I call upon the storm of the air. I call upon the mightiest of thy number. Come hither, greatest of storms. Come hither and appear now. And he takes his hammer and he smashes it on the ground with a bam. We see a storm forming and this glorious Kirby crackle, I have to say. There's lightning shooting up from the ground and going into the storm cloud. And Thor's like, thou art here.
Come then, rage over the sea. Rage low and strike that invading fleet, blowing them away. So far they will never find their way here again.
And we shift scenes then back to Asgard, where we have Loki, and we see other gods hanging around, and they're all wearing their very ornate sort of Jack Kirby-ish outfits here, and there's a big door to Loki's palace, I guess, and it actually kind of looks like Loki a little bit. It's got the big antlers coming out, and Loki's like,
the fool, this is my chance. Thor seeks to aid those pathetic mortals, and thus delivers to me the opportunity I've been waiting for.
And Loki starts casting a mystical spell of his own.
Hear me, O storm. Hear the words of Loki, who came to thee as a friend. It's as I told thee. Thor merely uses thee to satisfy his casual whims. Pits thee at the service of mere mortals, who should be beneath thy notice. Such a task offends thy dignity as an affront to thy might. Thou art too great for such as this.
And we cut to Thor back on Earth, and the storm is rebelling against him. And Thor's like,
what chicanery is this? The storm does not strike, does not smite the enemy. Ho, winds, attend thy master. Thor hath ordered thee, and thou must obey.
He's continuing to try to call upon the storm, but the image of Loki appears in the sky, talking to the storm, and it's unclear whether or not Thor can actually see this or not. And Thor's like, I call on thee, storm! And Loki is talking to the storm spirit.
Dost thou hear? He orders thee like a dog. Surely thou understandest now. Thou cannot follow a buffoon such as this. Thine is the power, thine is the might. Thou must take thy power unto thyself, great one, and destroy thy slave master. Destroy Thor!
And Loki is pointing right at Thor, and the storm is like,
yes, no longer shall I obey. Now shall I be free. Now shall Thor die.
The narration goes,
and the storm turned on Thor, striking him with an unimaginable winds, tearing him into the skies.
And we see what's going on below. We have the Vikings, and they're being tossed around by the storms, and it's like,
my chieftain, we must make for land. We cannot stand with these.
No, if I truly see what I think I do, we must push forward into the storm.
Man the oars, men, forward, press forward.
And they do that, and the ship is getting battered by the wind and the waves, and they're all getting tossed around, going, aye.
And it's like, sir, we'll lose the ship. And the captain's still like, onward, row onward. And Thor has been tossed into the sky in a big whirlwind, almost like a tornado kind of vortex thing. And he's been separated from Mjolnir. And Thor's like, my hammer. The maelstrom wrenched Mjolnir from my grasp. And I cannot breathe, cannot concentrate, cannot call it to return to me with enough will. You see it kind of whirling around in the wind, opposite of Thor in this vortex thing. And the narrator says,
and Thor's breath grew shallow, and his vision began to darken.
And we see the laughing face of Loki glowing all, you know, purple and green in the sky. And it's like, and Thor's like, that face, am I imagining things? Or Thor goes plummeting out of the sky and towards the Viking ship. And Thor's like, a ship braving even this uncontrolled fury. Then Thor hath a chance, and he shall seize it. And Thor falls, and he lands, and he grabs the figurehead, or the kind of the dragon head of the ship. You know how Viking ships have, you know, the dragon head or whatever at the front. And Thor grabs that, and he hears the storm yelling at him,
no, Thor, no, thou wilt die. Thou wilt die, and I shall be master.
Mjolnir is still up in the sky, kind of shooting lightning out of it, and Thor realizes,
so, it's the storm itself I face, eh? Insolent braggart, thou shalt not prevail. Though thou strikest Mjolnir with bolt upon bolt of lightning in an effort to destroy it, thy moment has passed. Thor hath a place to stand now, and he will not be denied. By the power of the All-Father Odin, the hammer Mjolnir is mine, and I can call it to return to my hand. Come to me, Mjolnir, and let the power of the storm be broken. And Mjolnir returns to his hand very dutifully. The Vikings are just aghast at what they're seeing, and they're it's like, do my eyes deceive me?
Tis Thor himself, the god of thunder.
Thor on our ship.
And the captain doesn't seem that surprised at all. He's like,
hail to thee, mighty one. We owe you our very lives. Not so brave, Viking. Tis I who owe thee. Thou couldst have saved thyselves, outrun the storm, but thou knew not fear, and came to my aid without flagging.
And somebody then realizes that the berserkers are still there. He's like,
the berserker! The wind's gone, they come onward still. Great Thor, could you perhaps?
This captain's like, Ranulf, we do not ask aid, Ranulf. We are Vikings, and we fight our own battles. Gird yourselves, men, for the battle is nigh.
Thou dost not ask my aid, proud chieftain, says Thor, but thou hast earned it nonetheless, and in any case, Thor hath another debt to pay this day. Ho, mightiest of storms, Thor doth call on thee again, where thou linger in the air. And such is Thor's rage and Thor's unfettered power that he will not be denied.
And he tries to summon the storm again from the bow of the ship. And the storm is like,
no, I will defy thee. I am the power. I am the god storm. I will kill thee, kill thee, kill thee.
The narrator is like,
such was the power of Thor's command that the god storm buckled before it, buckled and fell.
And we see the ships with the berserkers in them, and they're all dressed in animal skins, and they're all very kind of cool and barbaric looking. And yeah, they're definitely not. They're dressed like heavy metal Vikings as opposed to real Vikings. And they're like,
sire, the Vikings employ sorcery. On, you fools, roll on. They stand against us, and they must fall. Sire, before us. The water begins to swirl, to open a great chasm.
And there's like a big whirlpool, and all the berserker ships are being sucked into this giant whirlpool. And we get a cut to Loki. It's like,
no, no, I cannot be denied in this. I cannot.
And we see that Thor is using his power to kind of suck all the berserker ships under the water. And Thor has a plan here. He's like,
thou wilt not endanger anyone again, rebellious one. Down thou goest to the sea floor and below, down to the rock of the earth, where thou wilt be trapped forever.
And the storm is like, no, I will escape, I will return. I will return one day, and I will have my revenge.
And it's like, no, Calgonite. And Thor is like,
it is done. The so-called god storm is punished, and the berserker fleet broken. The waters of the North Sea will cool their ardor, and they will limp home and lick their wounds.
Our eternal thanks, great one, says the captain of the Vikings.
And they return to the Viking village, and people are unloading, you know, the ships, and Thor's standing in the middle of their village, and you see all the people, and you see their dogs and their goats and all that, and yeah, everyone's running around. And Thor has something to say here. He's like,
"Ho, North men and women, gather round, for Thor, god of thunder, hath something to say to thee. Thou should have great pride in thy chieftain, for truly he has a warrior's heart, a Viking's fire. Faced with danger, he met it. He did not shrink, he did not quail. And faced with the sight of another in peril, he braved greater danger still to aid me. Faced with danger, he met it. He did not shrink, he did not quail. And faced with the sight of another in peril, he braved greater danger still to aid me. He unflinchingly set to his tasks, without thought of failure or of surrender. Learn from him, as thou dost repair thy ships and live thy lives. Learn the value of determination, of steadfastness, for it is a trait that shall serve thee well indeed. And ho, 'twould seem that the ships were not the only things damaged," and we see that, like a little chip of stone flaking off of Thor's hammer. "My own hammer was cracked, chipped by the furious barrage of lightning it endured. But no matter, it too can be repaired. And as a reward for thy bravery, good chieftain, I present you with a gift. Something that doubtless no mortal will e'er receive again." And he slips a chip of Mjolnir into the chieftain's hand. And he whirls his hammer around and takes off into the air. It's like, "Now fare thee well, all. And know, brave one, that thou hast the gratitude of Thor. And should thy or thy family ever need my aid, I shall be there." And he goes taking off. And we shift back to the storyteller and the two boys. And the blonde kid is like,
That happened here? And Chief Harold, he has descended from that long-ago chieftain, and he wears a piece of Thor's hammer?
Yes, but...
And that storm? It's out there under the seafloor right off our coast? Is it still there? Did it ever escape? Will it?
And the old man's like,
"I had intended my tale to illustrate the value of perseverance in the face of adversity, but it seems that I have awoken more curiosity than understanding. Still... You ask telling questions, dark-haired one. No, the godstorm is not escaped. Not yet. As to the future, well, we might be able to discover something about that. Worth a try, at least, Spirit of discovery, eh?"
And the old man reaches into his pouch and he pulls out rune sticks.
"I take the rune sticks, the bones of the world, and I ask the fates, ask them for sight."
And he casts the rune sticks onto the stump, and they create a pattern. And I guess they tell him what is going on, just a little bit. It looks like scattered sticks to me, but yeah, that's pareidolia for you.
It seems the godstorm will return twice at least, but not for many, many turns of the seasons. Tell us, wise one, tell us what you see, what the rune sticks show you. Very well. In the unfolding of time there shall arise a land, a mighty land, so peopled with men that they dwell in many long houses, all stood on end. Carts move without horses, and Thor will be there. He will have allies among the mortals, mighty warriors indeed who strike for justice.
Mortals? Why would a god ally himself with mortals? Hush, rapscallions, I'm talking!
And we see the sort of... misty image forming in the rune sticks, and it's obviously an illustrative device. We have Thor and some shadowy figures who we recognize who they are. We have Iron Man, Captain America, the Wasp, and Giant Man. And we then start the next chapter, and the old man is still narrating here.
"The wheel of time turns, but the nature of man does not. Still, there are scoundrels, and still there are champions, and still the innocent are caught between. So it is in the events I'm about to describe, in a story we might call The Tale of the Mighty Thor and the Man Who Made Weather."
And we are in New York City or some other such place, and we have the Avengers, and they're down at street level. We have Giant Man, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, and the Wasp. And up on a ledge, there's a kind of garden variety 60s supervillain and a young woman. And it looks as though the supervillain is keeping her hostage or something. And Giant Man says, "Looks like that weather maker Louse is trapped, Cap. He's got nowhere to retreat to."
And the crowd is like, come on, giant man, quit blocking the view. We got as much right to see the show as anyone. And Captain America's like, I agree, High Pockets, but I'm suspicious. There's too much here we don't understand, like who he is and why he's doing this. Please, everyone, stay back. Let us handle this. Give but the word, Captain America, and Thor's hammer shall strike. And the Wasp is like, strike away, handsome. But leave something for the Winsome Wasp to clean up. And Iron Man's like,
are we planning to talk him into unconsciousness, Avengers? Or are we getting ready to trounce him?
And the villain is shooting down like these big lumps of ice out of his... It's not like a gun that he's shooting this like chunks of ice out of. And
ready? You can never be ready for the Weather Maker.
And he's shooting down this ice. And the woman's like,
oh, Carstairs, you're hurting me.
Cower, Avengers. Cower before my unparalleled meteorological genius. For what other man can command the elements as I do? What other man can barrage you with a deadly shower of hail?
And Iron Man's not having any of that.
Sorry, pal, but cowering's not in our contract.
Hail against the God of Thunder. This villain knows not what he faces.
And the Wasp is like,
you said it, Goldilocks. One well-placed wasp sting, and he'll be begging for a nice, cozy jail cell.
And Thor's whirling his hammer around. He's like,
there. One sweep of my mystic mallet and his heinous attack is scattered to the four winds. But hold, Iron Man hath been struck, caught in a stream of freezing rain.
And Giant Man's like, nice going, Wasp, you drew his attention, and now I've got him immobilized. And all he's done is grabbed his ankle. And Wasp is like,
and now for the coup de grace, one sting coming right up.
And Iron Man is falling out of the sky, and he's like,
Don't worry about me, Thor. Armor joint's frozen, but I can take the fall. Just clear the street and give me another crack at this Joker when I'm out of this.
And there's a lot going on in this panel. Very, very Silver Agey here. And the Weather Maker is all like,
your sting? Ha! It can't penetrate my body armor. But as long as you've scooped so close, feel my sting! The sting of Hurricane Force winds!
And he presses a button on his chest, and wind blasts come out of his hat. He's got this sort of hat thing with holes all around the outside. The woman's like,
Carstairs, don't!
The Wasp is blown away by the wind, and Giant Man reaches out. And he says,
whoa, I may not be Mr. Fantastic, honey, but with these arms, I can muster a boarding house reach with the best of them. Got you!
And the Wasp is like,
thanks, darling. Wind knocked the breath out of me, but I'm no helpless sidekick. I'll be fine. Just save that girl.
The Avengers are pressing on. And we see the Weathermaster is, or Weathermaker, or whatever his name is blasting Giant Man with more weather. And the woman on the thing is like,
no!
And Thor is getting ready to help. He says, this malefactor's weaponry is impressive indeed. To hold back the mighty Avengers like this, but he shall not stand. Not while the power of Thor stands against him. And Thor's getting ready to smash him with Mjolnir when an image of Odin appears in the air. And he's like,
Thor, attend me. Thy father hath need of thee immediately.
All-Father Odin? But what? The trolls have challenged Asgard's right of passage through the Nine Worlds. They assemble outside the gates for a war parley, and we must meet them in strength. As Prince of the Realm, thy presence is required. Without delay. Father, my love for thee and respect for thy duty knows no bounds. But I am engaged in combat even as we speak. The trolls may be gathering, but there is danger on Midgard now. I shall do my best to end things swiftly and join thee in Asgard as soon as I'm able.
Thou defiest thy father? Defiest his royal order? Hear this, my son. You shall return to Asgard, and return by sundown. I will brook no excuses.
And there's a thunderclap, and Odin is vanished. And we cut back to the on top of the building here with the Weathermaster, and he's talking to the girl and says,
stop struggling, Maureen. You'll only make things worse. You cannot escape me, and you know you are the reason I do this.
You're hateful, Carstairs, hateful. I'll never forgive you, and I hope they lock you up and throw away the key.
And he's like, you'll change your tune in time. You'll change your tune, Maureen. I'm, who dares? And Captain America has grabbed the Weathermaker between his feet, and he's kind of pitching him off the edge of the building. And he's doing this whole acrobatic thing where he's kind of flipping up using the flagpole. And he's like, who dares? And Cap's like,
the name's Captain America, friend. Maybe you've heard of me. You let your guard down for an instant, but that was all I needed. And the Weathermaker goes toppled towards the street. He manages to save himself with his, looks like he's got, like, wind coming out of his ass. It's like, I see it's a jetpack of some kind, but that looks like it's coming out of his ass in this picture. There's a super levitating farts. And he's like, bah, I'm prepared for any contingency. My power pack doesn't just fuel my weapons, it lets me fly as well. And we see that Iron Man is busy unfreezing himself and Giant Man. And Captain America is distracting the villain. He's like, don't crow too loud, Buster. And don't forget the Avengers are team players. Or do you need a reminder? And with that, Giant Man reaches out and grabs the Weathermaker's gun and smashes it. The Weathermaker's like, Giant Man, I thought you'd be a frozen corpse by now. And Giant Man's like, nope, just popsicle temperature. And all warm and toasty now, thanks to Iron Man. But this pop gun of yours is getting to be a nuisance, so let's just divest you of that. And he manages to destroy the gun. And the Weathermaker is like, you think my weather cannon is my entire arsenal? A few frigicussion grenades should disabuse you of that notion. And he tosses one of these grenade things at Giant Man and explodes in this big green explosion on Giant Man's back with a big PAM! Giant Man and Iron Man get thrown back, and the Weathermaker takes off back towards the ledge where Captain America is trying to rescue the girl. Remember what I said about teamwork, Weathermaker? While the others kept you busy, I freed your hostage. Unhand her, Captain America, and return her to me, or you'll die where you stand. And he goes flying up towards Captain America, and Captain America throws his mighty shield right at the Weathermaker. He's like, Mister, nobody threatens an Avenger. Least of all, a tin-plated tin horn with delusions of grandeur. Your armor seems enough to spare you from injury, but my shield ought to be enough to crack you like a lobster. And the Weathermaker's like, perhaps, Captain, were it to strike me. You are quite skilled with your shield, hero. But all weapons can be turned against their wielder by the right power. The power, for instance, of 200-mile-per-hour hot mists! And the shield goes hurtling back towards Cap. And he has to dodge the shield, and the shield smashes into the wall, and the wall's all shattered. And he's like, the wall, get down, miss, before it... The wall's collapsing and covering the girl, and she's like, no, no, aye! And Giant Man's like, Cap and the girl, they've both been buried in the rubble.
Hey, Fred.
Wait, Thor's on the scene, and Cap looks okay, but the girl...
And Thor has grabbed the Weathermaker and is dragging him down to Earth, and Thor's like, my pardon, Avengers, for allowing myself to be distracted during the battle. Demolishing this power pack ended his threat. But the woman is injured. Gravely. At least you caught the Weathermaker, Thor, says Giant Man. I'd like to send him to Sing Sing with my Sunday punch.
Get in line, big man, says the Wasp.
I never meant for her to be hurt. Never.
Should have thought of that a while ago, Charlie. I radioed for an ambulance, but the fight's caused so much traffic congestion it may not be able to get here right away.
And by the time it does, says Thor, her wounds may prove too grievous to address. Her fate remains in our hands. And Giant Man's, let's get her to a doctor then, while I pull this tiger's teeth. Funny how harmless he looks now, like any average Joe. And Giant Man has kind of ripped bits of his armor off, and you see it's this kind of mug guy. and the Wasp is slapping him, like, jerk! The caption said,
it would be sundown soon, and the Thunder God knew it, but he felt the young woman's faint, ragged breath against his chest. And now he could not merely turn her over to others and depart.
And he's like, I must. I can't. No. I shall see to her treatment, Avengers. Do not fear. She shall get the best medical attention. The best, whatever the cost. Yeah, he's acting a little weird, and Cap is like, huh? What was that all about? Thor takes off, and he is flying towards his office as Dr. Don Blake. He kind of flies in through the window, as Thor often does. And the woman's in his arms, and Jane is there. And he's like, Jane Foster, prepare for an operation. This young woman will not survive without speedy ministrations. And she's like, Thor?
Yes, of course. I'll get right on it. But Dr. Blake isn't here right now.
He will be. Just see to the preparations, Nurse Foster. Thor bangs his hammer on the floor and changes back into Dr. Donald Blake. You know, you'd think he would have put her down first.
Because now with Dr. Blake, he has to lift her completely. Anyway, so he's back as Don Blake, and he's like, all right, girl, Thor's done his best. Now let's see what I can do for you. We then shift scenes back to the Viking village and the two young boys listening to the old man talk.
What? Thor transforming into a mortal? The woman, the helpmaid, she knew his human form, but why would he do such a thing? How would he come to have a mortal life at all? I must confess, I do not know. But perhaps the rune sticks will grace us with an answer once again.
And he shakes the sticks and he casts them, sees the answer that the runes are giving him. It's like,
it seems that not long before these events, Odin and Thor quarreled, and Thor was changed into mortal form to teach him humility. But that's madness. Thor is a god. What need does he have for humility? And why a healer? Surely if Thor was mortal, he would be a warrior. So do I take it from your interruptions that you do not want me to continue with this tale?
Oh, no, please continue.
Very well. Silence, then. And lo, the next piece of our story is revealed to us.
And we see a scene taking place in Asgard, throne room of Odin. Lots of gods scattered around, lots of hyper Kirby-ish, you know, armor, and you know, all these warriors are wearing their best Kirby-inspired armor. Here, Odin is really upset, and it says,
"In the halls of mighty Asgard, Odin waited and waited. As the time grew long, he grew more wrathful.
Shadows lengthen and night falls, and still Thor doth not return. I've been patient." Most patient. But even my patience is not limitless. Where is he? Where is Thor?
He's hammering on his chair. He's like, where is my son? And somebody comes in the door, and that person is Loki. It's
like, thou didst call, father? Oh, I see it is thine other son thou dost seek. I'm sorry to say, sire, that sundown has come, both here and on that portion of Midgard he favors. But there can be but one conclusion. He hath defied thee, All-Father, the All-Power, preferring to gamble and fritter away his time with mere mortals.
Perhaps something prevents him from returning. I shall look on him and see.
And he looks in and he sees Dr. Blake and is finishing his operation. And he's like, it is done. The girl will live. And he's kind of doing his post-operation doctor stuff. Fortunately, her injuries, while telling, were not extensive. She'll recover quickly with rest. She was lucky to have escaped without greater harm.
You mean she was lucky to have you to help her, Dr. Blake? I saw that procedure, and there isn't another doctor alive who could have saved her.
That doesn't matter, Jane. Only the result matters.
Do we know who she is?
Not really. She was mixed up with that weathermaker fellow on the news, and she didn't have the most orthodox check-in. We can get her particulars when she wakes up, hmm?
Of course. But for now, you're tired, Doctor, and you've been working hard. You need to relax. Have you eaten? We could go out for a late dinner.
And hubba hubba. Jane the man-killer back again.
That's kind of you, Jane. But after such a long day, I think I'll just go up to the roof for a few minutes to get some fresh air. Maybe another time.
He's kind of scrubbing up and takes off. It's like, oh, and I'll need some new report forms soon. I'm running low. Could you take care of that?
Thanks, Jane.
And Jane's like, moping to herself,
it's hopeless. Utterly hopeless. I'm nothing to him. Nothing but a nurse.
Yeah. kind of the cheesiest of old Jane Foster. And we see that Don Blake has made his way up to the roof of the building. And he's like, I better change. Get to Asgard before things get any worse. But I've got to make sure that what today doesn't happen again. I allowed myself to be distracted. It was she who almost paid the price. And we have the image of Odin appear in the air before Dr. Blake. And he's like,
thou hast disobeyed thy father, Thor. Disobeyed thy sworn liege lord. Explain thyself.
I was needed, father. Needed here. I am sworn to protect humanity. And the life was in danger through my inaction. I had to stay until...
Thy duty is to thy father, unruly one. And in this thou hast failed most grievously. But nevermore, I strip from thee thy mortal guise.
And he casts a sort of spell with a zoof. It changes him into a Thor.
and make thee thy true self once more. Thy true self! Thou wouldst do well to remember that. For I return thee now to Asgard's gleaming halls, and thou shalt see Midgard never again.
And Odin transports Thor to Asgard. And we shift scenes back to Earth in a jail cell. We have the Weathermaker, this kind of squirrely red-haired dude. And he's laying on the bunk in the jail cell and is kind of being taunted by the guard here.
Hey, weather boy, how about making it rain for me on Sunday? I promised the old lady I'd take her to the flower show, but I don't really want to, know what I mean? Hey, what's the matter? Not such a big shot without your doodads and gizmos, huh?
Leave me, you imbecile. Confinement is bad enough without having to endure your humor as well.
And the guard goes away. It's like,
good, he's gone. The fools. To think I wouldn't have a contingency plan for this very situation. This false tooth jammed with circuitry is all I need. I've never had the chance to test it, but it should call a storm to me to free me. I'll need a powerful storm indeed to shatter these walls.
Yeah, and he yanks one of his teeth out. And what if it was the wrong one? It's like, ouch, wrong tooth. And he using his little device here. He says,
so reach out, my little technological wonder. Reach out around the world and find the most violent storm you can. Reach out and, got something. But what? My mind flooding with darkness. What have I contacted?
It turns out to be the God Storm. And he's like,
you've called, mortal. You have called. And I have answered. I have been trapped for 1,000 years or more, waiting for a chance to soar free once again. And you shall be that chance. You cannot free me, I sense that, but you may give my anger form and power. You shall be my vessel of revenge against Thor.
And he's surrounding the Weathermaker in this red glow, and it's kind of this Kirby crackle. We got this sort of very Jack Kirby transformation scene going on, and he's just glowing and shooting off energy.
It's like, please, I don't. Time to open your mind to me. Feel my power fill your lungs, your veins, your very flesh. Feel power beyond anything you have ever known as you begin to change. Change!
We shift scenes back to Viking Village and the old man talking to the kids. And the old man's like,
and so the change came upon him, causing his bones to lengthen, his muscles to increase in size. He tried to stand and...
And then he notices that it's getting dark out. He's like,
look at the skies, how dark it is. It grows late, and good Viking children need sleep to have strength for the coming day. We must finish our tale anon.
And the kid's like, huh? But...
You can't stop now. We're not tired. Sleep? That's for women. We want to hear the monster. Did the Godstorm get its revenge? What happened with the trolls? Tell me what the monster was. Like a 10-foot ogre? A giant? Did Odin punish Thor? We've talked enough already for one day. An elder like me needs his rest, even if you younglings do not. And a Viking is patient as well as determined. Soon enough, the runes will reveal the outcome of the events we have seen, and we shall discover what shall transpire together.
Next issue, the tale of the mighty Thor and the man called Torrent. So we do have a few things to say about this issue, which we will be getting to right after this important message.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
They're penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're... Change.
Oh, Reed, not you too!
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly!
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power!
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth, and have
Mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream they're but pawns in the hands of Dr. Doom.
The Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you, for I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more. You're in the presence of the awesome Ravatots, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak, blind or Hulk.
Stop! You must not enter the Castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak, Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witness the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast, ffcast.libsyn.com.
So I do have a few comments about this issue, as I always do, and I can't believe that this is a 36-page comic. I have to say, because it seems like it's a whole lot longer than 36 pages. You look at the modern comics, you look at like Thor God of Thunder. It takes me 20 minutes to recap Thor God of Thunder, and it only has a few pages fewer than this issue. But this issue is a whole lot like a Silver Age comic. Events lead into the next, lead into the next, lead into the next. I think you've probably noticed if you go back and listen to the old episodes that the old Lee Kirby issues take me longer to summarize than the issues that are coming out now. We've pointed that out time and time again on the show. And this is paced in the same way that a Silver Age comic would be. I think that Kurt Busiek is doing a great job of channeling Stan Lee here, and even surpassing, I think, Stan Lee in the way he structures a story. Nobody, I think, has ever said that Stan Lee is the fantastic writer, the greatest writer who ever lived, much less the greatest comic book writer who ever lived. But he certainly does have a knack for, you know, telling an exciting story. That is Stan. Kurt Busiek is doing a passably good Stan Lee imitation and is definitely able to capture that mood, capturing that early Silver Age feel. That's not an easy thing to do. We live in a different age. Storytelling conventions are different now. Now, he's aided in this most admirably by the artist Steve Rude. Steve Rude has done a lot of cool stuff, including Nexus, which is the kind of my favorite thing that he used to do. But you have this definitely Kirby imitative style going on here without being completely imitative. He's drawing like Kirby, yet it isn't Kirby, and you can tell it's not Kirby. It's not Kirby enough to be Kirby, and it's very much Steve Rude channeling Jack Kirby. You can tell because Steve Rude has a very different way of laying things out than Kirby does. He doesn't have the frenetic energy that Jack Kirby could bring to a comic book page, but he is a technically more advanced artist. He has a much better sense of layout. He has a much better sense of how to compose a page than Jack Kirby did. And this is nothing against Kirby. Kirby is, you know, he's the one who invented the language. And artists who followed since then have built on what Kirby created visually. And Steve Rude is able to go in there and draw in a Jack Kirby-ish style and have it look legitimately like a Jack Kirby comic, but at the same time have a more modern sort of layout sensibility. And he makes it work. I mean, technically, this is a lot better than a lot of the early Silver Age comics. And as much as I love those old books, you know, this actually technically is probably better drawn and better written. So anyway, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of this. Definitely, you know, the next couple of issues we're going to be reading on the next couple of episodes as we kind of wind up our, coverage before Thor 2 comes out. And of course, we'll have a couple of episodes devoted to that probably. Anyhow, that's about it for this week. We are running a little bit long, but yeah, there's a lot to cover, and we're going to have a couple more long shows coming up, especially next episode, because we're going to have one of the Norse myths, as we always do in every ninth episode. So next issue is going to be a whopper, folks. So get that cushion on your chair now, because you're going to need it. And don't forget to listen to Back to the Bins. I'm not sure which episode that it's going to be, but keep an eye out for the Thor episode of Back to the Bins that I'm going to be appearing on, and that ought to be a lot of fun as well. All right, so with that, we're going to cross back over the Rainbow Bridge, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.